"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Ugh, another pointless video call where nothing gets done. I think you're on mute, David.
Sorry. What did I miss?
IT just approved Miro for the whole company.
Miro? That's the...
online whiteboard. For team collaboration, we can make these long video meetings so much shorter with Miro boards. We can share ideas, feedback, and updates on them whenever, actually see what we're talking about.
It's all online.
Miro will make our flexible work setup so much easier, with one virtual space for our brainstorms, projects, presentations.
Oh, that sounds kind of amazing. So I don't need to wake up for 6 a.m. calls with the London office anymore.
Now you're getting it.
Don't let time zones get in the way of your team working well together. See why 99% of the Fortune 100 trust Miro to get good work done from anywhere. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
A group of 24 school superintendents from districts across Southern California want the L.A. County Department of Public Health to change a portion of its ongoing campus masking policies, specifically as it relates to asymptomatic students and staff who have been closely exposed to a COVID-positive person. Presently, DPH's current countywide health order requires people who've come in close contact with a known COVID-positive individual to wear a mask indoors for 10 days and get tested within 3 to 5 days after the exposure in order to avoid at-home quarantine. But there's a group of superintendents who represent some 100,000 students who have asked DPH to align their close contact mask policy with the California Department of Public Health's guidelines. Joining me right now is Dr. Alex Chernus, EDD, Palos Verdes Peninsula Unified School District Superintendent, who has a better understanding of what is going on and what needs to change. Dr. Chernus, a pleasure to speak to you. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Did I explain that right as far as the difference between what the county was requiring of students and school districts as opposed to the state guidelines?
Yeah, you actually did. And frankly, I think it's unfortunate that as educators, we can't focus on just teaching kids. We're still dealing with these requirements that are very, very hard to enforce. All last year, LA County Department of Public Health said we're going to start aligning our policies with the state. And they over and over said that. And here we are starting the year, and we have this crazy policy not aligned with the state at all, requiring any kid that is a, quote, close contact with someone who had COVID to have to wear a mask indoors for 10 days.
I remember how the mask mandate as it related to businesses, and I know a lot of businesses will say, well, we're just not going to enforce it. And the LA County Sheriff said, well, we're not going to enforce it either. I mention that because in terms of the school district, what is the enforcement provision presently? In other words, if Palos Verdes Peninsula Unified School District said, you know what, we're not even going to worry about what the county guidelines are, and you simply observe the state guidelines, what is the enforcement provision which would be working against you?
Well, it's a great question. This policy is actually a policy applying to everyone in LA County. This isn't just schools. It's just that schools are the only ones that are following these requirements. Private businesses are also required. Any close contact has to wear a mask indoors for 10 days. Everybody else is ignoring it. Schools are not ignoring it. We've always been really diligent in trying to follow the guidance, follow the rules. So to tell you the truth, I'm not sure. We haven't had a district in LA County say, hey, we're not going to follow it or we're not going to enforce it. It's very complicated. You have some teachers that would want to enforce it, some parents that would want, some that would not. But the reason why I'm here is because we need the people of LA County to help us out. Contact your board of supervisors. There's five board of supervisors. Dr. Ferrer works for the board. And let them know that you care about kids, and we want policies that make sense so our kids can go to school and not have to worry about this.
My guest right now is Dr. Alex Chernus, EDD, Palos Verdes Peninsula Unified School District, and we're talking about the disparate masking guidelines between the state and also LA County. What are you hearing, Dr. Chernus, from students as far as the guidelines? I understand probably parents are very vocal. I know teachers are probably very vocal, but what do students tell you as far as whether this is intrusive in the learning environment?
Well, it doesn't help that it's 90 degrees in some of our classrooms. And, you know, having to wear a mask indoors right now is hit and miss. A lot of kids just don't wear it. And frankly, I've talked to a lot of superintendents that don't really care about this policy because they're just not following it and no one's really following it. But the problem is those that want to follow this policy or that are supposed to are the ones that are being punished. So a lot of kids don't have a problem with it, but a lot do. And the issue is that our teachers are spending time policing this thing, many of them, when they can just be focused on you know, what they should be, and that's teaching and learning.
Outside of the mask expectations and guidelines, I wonder, and I would think you would be able to tell me this, from 30,000 feet up, are students, for the most part, back to normal? And I say that with air quotes, as far as the learning in class, in person experience, given that we are now coming out of the pandemic. Are we almost there?
Yeah, I think we're now in the endemic phase, and we've had a great opening of school where all programs are pretty much back to normal, which is really good for kids because they've suffered tremendously academically and through their mental health. But can you imagine being a parent and you're getting these letters coming home now saying your child is perfectly healthy and fine, you know, has to wear a mask for the next 10 days where most people thought, oh, okay, well, we're out of the woods. So it's nonsensical. We believe, look, if you have COVID, you stay home. If you're healthy and you don't, you should be able to come to school unobstructed. And that's what the state's saying. We're just asking to follow that state guidance and not have this stricter measure in place just for LA County.
One more time, you had advice for people to reach out to Barbara Ferrer and also the County Department of Public Health in this endeavor. One more time, what are you recommending for people to do?
I am recommending to reach out to your board of supervisor. We have five board of supervisors that supervise LA County's 80 school districts. Reach out to your board of supervisors. They have public meetings. Their next meeting is September 13th. Let it be known that we want to follow the state guidance. Let's allow asymptomatic kids to be able to stay in school mask-free if they so choose.
His name is Dr. Alex Chernus, EDD, Superintendent for Palos Verdes Peninsula Unified School District. Dr. Chernus, I appreciate what you're doing. I hope that you are successful in this endeavor, and thank you for what you've been doing for your whole career as far as the education of our students.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
This is the John and Ken Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. L.A. County D.A. George Gascon, I guess he has a new lease on life. He has a new enthusiasm to do his job as chief law enforcement officer or something like that for L.A. County. I guess he's getting tough on crime or something like that, kind of, sort of. He announced a major bust or something like that. He announced yesterday that 16 people have been charged in an alleged massive EBT fraud scheme. Prosecutors say the case involves the theft of private account information of California EBT cardholders, the creation of illegal cloned cards with victims' account information, and the withdrawal of large cash amounts from those accounts at ATMs. That left legitimate cardholders without funds in their accounts when they would later to try to make purchases. This is according to Gascon's office. There were some, as I said, some 16 people charged. I cannot pronounce the name. They are mostly Western and Eastern European in nature or sounding. I cannot even hazard a guess at trying to pronounce them. But Gascon had the following to say, quote, "Stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars intended to feed children and families is nothing short of disgusting. Let this be a warning to those who wrongly believe they can steal from the taxpayers of California without consequence, that we will work with businesses and law enforcement to identify and stop these organized criminal operations," close quote. There's a new sheriff in town or something like that. And DA George Gascon also announced that three men were being charged in a series of robberies across L.A. over the past 5 months. And this was also announced yesterday that these three men were going to be charged across a number of felonies. And the robberies included the pistol whippings of an older shopper in the 99 Ranch Market parking lot in Roland Heights. The listed charged are D'Angelo Thomas is being charged with 12 counts of second-degree robbery and 3 counts of elder abuse. DeMaurier Watts is being charged with 6 counts of second-degree robbery and 1 count of elder abuse. Eric Burnham, a third person, is being charged with 1 count of second-degree robbery. Of course, DA Gascon had something to say about this in his new tough-on-crime sort of stance or something. I don't know what the whole point of this is, why he's coming out with this now. Quote, "These brazen crimes, all of which occurred during the day, are deeply troubling." Oh, he doesn't say. Imagine that. "The victims had their sense of safety shattered. The majority of the people victimized were from the Asian American community, and I know that this has caused significant community trauma. I hope that all of those who have been impacted by this spree of violence sleep better tonight, knowing that those who caused harm will be held accountable," close quote. I don't think people's sense of safety was shattered by the crime. I think people's sense of safety was shattered by our reaction to the crime or lack of action to the crime. I don't think that you can do anything to prevent crime, but I believe most people want to be able to go to sleep each night and know that law enforcement and by extension, the DA is doing all he or they can do to stop further crime and put the guilty in jail and not bend over backwards to help the criminals, because the job of the county DA is to represent the people, not defend the criminals. It would seem pretty simple to me. So if this county DA is now has a new lease on life, is turning over a new leaf and all of those tired cliches that we hear, if DA Gascon is really concerned about how he's being viewed in the community or whether he can be effective in his position as county DA, then he needs to just go ahead and go about the business of it and less worry about the type of public statements he needs to make for rather minor busts, if you will. It's nice that they stopped the EBT theft ring. It's nice, but it's not all that impactful. It's nice that they stopped two of the or three of the people who are responsible for the daytime robberies, but there's a whole lot of other crime going on out there that I would much rather him have a statement on than that particularly. And in concert with that, we've had a lot of discussion, or at least I have on the Mo Kelly Show, if you listen Saturdays and Sundays, we've talked at length about how we can better deal with or address these LA street takeovers. And there's still information coming in, but there was a panel, online panel discussion between law enforcement, county officials, and members of the community, which took place, I think, at like 9 a.m. this morning, as far as what needs to be done to help stop these intersection takeovers. And you see a lot of the videos, and that's a part of the problem. You have the videos, which is what I call kids. These kids are taping and they're putting up on social media, and then it influences and sort of encourages more of a turnout at the next location. And I'm saying, this is, from where I sit, this is a very simple problem to solve. These are things where you have to have zero tolerance for. Now, we've heard them make the statement, law enforcement and others, saying that they would start impounding the cars. They should have been doing that from the beginning. If you make the penalty severe enough, you won't have as many people doing this. If you penalize not only the drivers, but the people who are there, who are onlookers, people who are blocking traffic, if you make it so cost prohibitive for anyone to be involved in it, you will probably see this taper off. Because this is being organized online. It's not like they're using telephone tree and telling one another. No, they are publicizing it online. That's the only way they all know to show up at a certain location at a certain time. And if you've ever seen one, and they happen in my neighborhood daily, almost daily. So I can say this with a great degree of certainty. It doesn't happen or grow quickly. It happens over the course of maybe a half hour or 45 minutes where you can see people driving up, getting out of their car, milling around the location, waiting for the right moment to physically take over the intersection and stop all traffic, because they're not going to stop all traffic until they have enough people there that they can have a quote unquote successful takeover. I say that to say these things are not happening quickly, so quickly that people can't intervene and stop them. These things are happening with a certain level of preparation and promotion. You could go online, if you're paying attention on TikTok or you know the right place to look, and find out where the next one is going to be, because they're doing it in out in the open. They're not hiding this. You don't need to look to figure out where the next one is going to be. It's pretty easy to find out. And if you should go there, you will have adequate time to see the people and the crowd slowly build to where you could either call law enforcement or call some other agency or some help to help break it up. Because it happens where I live. I'm very close to the LA County Sheriff Lenox Station, about maybe a mile or less from that. And they happen in our neighborhood routinely, but they don't happen quickly. And just calling the police won't necessarily be enough. We need help from other residents who are watching these things materialize. And if we make it where it is just really cost prohibitive to either participate or even spectate, then it'll bring it to an end. Because at this point, the penalties are not in any way deterring anyone from participating. And they're physically dangerous not only to the participants, but to the residents, onlookers, anyone who might be in the vicinity. We've had people die. We've had property destroyed, vandalized. And this can be addressed. We don't need to have the long panel discussion. We don't need to have these committees. We don't need to have these types of meetings where we talk about what needs to be done. It's really simple. You have to just drop the hammer, George Gascon. This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Okay, pop quiz. Going around the studio, pop quiz. And you don't have to be specific, so I'm going to allow you to retain some of your dignity. And I don't want to get in all your business.
Yeah, too late for the dignity part.
Well, you know. Okay, I'll start with you, Mark. Mark, do you own, in terms of a car, a Kia or a Hyundai?
I do not own a car.
Okay. Eric, do you own a Kia or a Hyundai?
No, I have a Volkswagen.
Okay. Producer Dana?
No.
Oh God. Can I at least ask the question, please? Okay. Remind me of my wife. I try to ask the question. Answer's always no. No. Honey, can I? No. How about no? Well, Kim, no. And if you're married, you know what that's like. All right, Ray?
I own a Honda.
Honda. I own a Honda as well. And the reason I bring this up, if you own a Kia or Hyundai, your car may be a higher risk for getting broken into and stolen. And the first car I had was a Nissan NX 1600, a little two-seater. I bought it, I was 22, so that was like 1992. And that car was getting broken into almost monthly. It was one of those cars which was real easy to break into. And when I was 22, you live in an apartment situation, your car's either on the street or it's in a parking garage, which is very easy for people to get into. And it was just always getting broken into. And a lot of times, they would just leave me with a bill. What I mean by that is they break the window. I didn't have a radio back when there were car radios they would actually steal. I didn't have a radio of note. So they didn't take anything. They just left me with a vandalism bill. So I always think about that when I read these stories about people who are more susceptible to get their car stolen or broken into, because a lot of times they're just leaving you with a vandalism bill because they'll steal the car, in this case with a Kia or a Hyundai, and joyride and then wreck it, or they'll leave it in some other location and they've just left you feeling violated, and then you have to go on from there. This, going back to social media, I was talking about these takeovers, these street takeovers, how it starts on social media. Same thing here. This trend started on social media, and it is now endemic to LA specifically. Kids, and I guess it seems they got it from TikTok, have figured out that it's easier, quote unquote, to steal Kias and Hyundais. And they do it most often for a joyride. They're not actually trying to do anything with the car other than just use it for the evening. And from what I understand, with Kias specifically, they have a key ignition that doesn't contain an engine immobilizer, a chip that helps the engine recognize your smart key or fob, which, as you know, prevents theft. And if they can bypass the physical key, which is a security device, if you will, then it's easier to get in there and start the car. I just know I've never thought of buying a Kia or a Hyundai, but I've had a Honda. And I was told back in the day, I don't know if it's still true today, and this is more a question for Ray. I know I was told that buying a Honda or a Toyota was dangerous, if only because they were more likely to be stolen for their parts because they were very common cars. I don't know if that's still true.
Yeah, I think that was true for a long time because we got a lot of these car modifiers, especially these Hondas and I think Toyotas. And what was the other? And it might have been the Hyundai. They would modify them and they would steal your parts. And then they leave you just stripped. And, you were SOL, man, because, if you went to your insurance and they would just write you a check. And, if you had a nice car, that was pretty much it. I mean, hopefully you had some, enough coverage on it to cover that whole gap insurance thing.
Coverage? No.
What a pain in the ass.
I was the guy who was always riding dangerously. I always had insurance, but my deductible was usually $1,000. To get the lower monthly rate. And when you have a $1,000 deductible, when someone breaks into your car, I mean, they may or may not, create $1,000 worth of damage, but why am I going to pay $1,000 to just have insurance kick in? And then they're going to raise my rates after that for maybe what might be like $2,000 worth of damage, which has happened on more than one occasion. So, yeah, and I've never really, well, I take that back. There was one time I had a semi-expensive car, but that was a Honda as well. It was a Honda S2000. Love that little two-seater convertible.
Oh, that's a cool car.
Oh, I loved it. And I drove that. I got one of the first of them in Southern California. It was black on black. Bought it in 1999, even before the year 2000 had occurred. And I drove that for 300,000 miles. No exaggeration.
Yeah, those are Hondas. You can go with those. But, you know, with the Hyundais, I had a Hyundai. It was a Hyundai Accent. And this car turned into a bucket quick. Then they redid the Accents. And those are the ones that these kids are taking, right? These mm-hmm. these Hyundais and these Kias. But why would anybody want to buy a Kia? That's what I want to know. This portion of the John and Kent show is not brought to you by Kia or Hyundai.
And never will be at this rate.
But, yeah, I mean, these cars, their resale value stinks. I mean, when you look at a Honda, and that's why you probably buy a Honda, because that's what I did, Mo. I mean,
absolutely,
they're great resale.
Not only is it great resale, I don't have to, for the most part, I don't have to worry about getting a lemon. The first car I ever had was a hand-me-down Honda. It was dookie brown colored. My father bought it. It was a 1976, one of those real tiny Civics, the original Civics. And he drove that for about 200,000 miles before he handed it to me. My first car was a Nissan, which was fine, but that only lasted for like 92,000 miles. My next car was the Honda S2000, drove that for 300,000 miles. And this Honda Civic I have now, I'm a man, I live within my means. I like having spending money. This car only has 115,000 miles. It's paid off. I have no desire to get rid of it. I'm happy. It, you know, it does everything I needed to do. And, you know, knock on wood, it hasn't been stolen or broken into yet. Knock on wood. You know, that could change tonight. Someone could be in my car right now. Dana could be rifling through my car right now. Broke in, you know, just broke the side window because she saw something left in my car.
My first car was a 1980 Honda Accord. It was green. So my friends used to call it the green machine. And we used to party with a lot of green.
What do you mean party?
You know what I mean?
Ray, no, I don't know. What do you mean? What type of partying did you do, Ray?
I don't know. You know, it was it was the 80s, man. You know, and the 80s were the 80s.
Back when it was illegal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had that thing smelled like chocolate Thai. I mean, do they still have that? I mean, is that one of the strains, Eric?
That is a very dated reference. You told on yourself with that one.
I know.
Now, Mark said he didn't have a car, but I'm quite sure he's had a car.
My first car, you like this, Mo, because you know what a Star Trek nerd I am. It was an old Gran Torino we called the USS Ronner Prize.
To go where no man, never mind.
You decide how much you don't want to know right now.
It has memories in it. How about that?
It certainly does. And scotch guarded seats.
But Gran Torino, you didn't hold on to that one, huh? That's a collector's item.
Like the old Starsky and Hutch car.
I was thinking about Starsky and Hutch. I was thinking about the movie Gran Torino, Clint Eastwood. That was a nice one in that as well.
Yeah, but I'm with you on the Hondas. Those last forever. That was one of the last cars that I had, and it was a tank, and it lasted forever, way past 100,000 miles, like into the twos.
And, Eric, you said Volkswagen, and how long have you had it?
I bought it in 2018. It was used. It's a 2015, and my first car was a 2001 Nissan Maxima.
Oh, I got to ask, stick or automatic?
Mo, come on.
You stick. All right, you're a real man.
No, stop it. It's automatic.
I'm so disappointed.
I'm a millennial.
You don't know how to drive stick?
No.
Oh, come on, Eric.
Come on. Seriously. You're lucky we got to go to commercial because I'm pulling your man card for that.
That's fine.
How can you not know how to drive stick?
I never learned.
This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. I am so damn disappointed in you, Eric. I had so much respect for you yesterday, and now you can only drive an automatic?
Yeah.
You need to go lift some weights or something. You know, bulk up.
I worked out this morning.
Okay, well, never mind.
It looks like he shaves.
Actually, he didn't. He trimmed up his beard.
I mean, he's capable of shaving. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I haven't been clean shaven since I was 21.
You say that like it's a badge of honor. I've been shaving since I was like 15.
Well, I'm 28 now.
How long did it take you to learn how to, not learn, but finally grow a beard?
Oh, I shaved the morning of my bar mitzvah.
A full beard. I'm saying
no, not connected. A full beard. No, full beard. Probably about eighth, ninth grade.
Oh damn. Okay. Well, you should learn how to drive stick.
I know.
You'd be a real man then. I guess I've started something. People are hitting me on Twitter at Mr. Mo Kelly, telling me their stories about having their car stolen or broken into. I guess everyone has a story of their car getting stolen or broken into and being charged out the yin yang by the tow company after they find the car, things of that nature. We all have the bad stories to share. And also, at the end of last segment, I was clowning Eric, who I respect greatly, generally. I was clowning him because he said he's 28 and cannot drive a stick shift. I understand that stick shifts are fewer in quantity now as far as cars. They're actually kind of hard to find. I have driven a stick. I've only driven sticks as far as cars I've owned. Every car I've owned has been a stick shift. And I said, look, if you can't drive a stick, you're not a man. And to that end, Andrew Caravella, KFI's own Andrew Caravella, texted me saying that he can't drive a stick.
So I'm not alone.
You're not alone. But then Oscar Ramirez, host of The Daily Dive, texted me and said, I can drive a stick. I mean, come on now. Look, Mark, I know Mark Rona could drive a stick because he's my age.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's more generational, to be honest.
For sure.
But I will say this. My older sister, we were both taught on a stick. And part of it was my father believed that it was important to make sure that we could drive any car in any situation so we wouldn't be stranded. And it was more important, obviously, for my sister if she were in a situation, but just for me in a general sense. Back then, and you wouldn't know this, Eric, stick shifts were not just, I'll say, on the floor. There was what they had, like three on a tree, where you would have like the older cars where they would put them in gears. It was like a lever on the side of the steering wheel. And you go park, reverse, drive.
I've driven cars like that before.
Okay, right. But there were also like trucks where you would shift gears like that with that same lever. Oh, it was funky, let me tell you. And I was helping a friend move one time from California to Arizona. And we both could drive stick, but it was three on a tree. So we had to kind of adjust as far as that type of shifting. Now, almost nobody drives stick. And when I take my car, it's just a little piece of junk Honda Civic, but it's my piece of junk Honda Civic. And when I go somewhere and there's like a valet, first they laugh at me because why are you valeting a Honda? And then I laugh at them because they can't drive the car because they don't drive stick. Most of the valets don't know how to, like, and they have to call someone else. Or I give it to the valet, they drive it away. And then when I give them the ticket coming back, obviously someone different went to get the car because they can't drive it to the front. And they have to find someone who can drive stick to bring it to the front. So I have to wait for my car unnecessarily.
Mo, we should tell Eric that there's something very satisfying about driving a stick. First of all,
absolutely,
pop in a copy of Steve McQueen's Bullet and then drive a stick around town. There's nothing like it because it gives you more control.
Been in cars that are stick shift while my friends, like my friend had a stick shift while we were in high school. It was a hand-me-down car, so it was a stick shift. So I've been in plenty of stick shift cars, and I've been able to feel what it's like to shift the gears and all of that, but I just don't know how to do it.
Well, we need someone to teach you. Now, my next question is, will Angel Martinez be one of those people who can teach you how to drive stick? Angel?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
I learned how to drive a stick when I was about 13 years old. And
did your father teach you by chance?
Yeah, I was a close family friend that taught me how to drive. And it was funny. It was in a church parking lot in a little sports car. So I'm popping the clutch and burning out all over the place. It was super fun.
I always say you don't know how to drive stick until you either drive a Volkswagen Bug, number one, or you learn how to balance your car as far as clutch and gas on a steep incline hill. Mm-hmm. Now with stick shifts, they make it where your car will not even roll back. There's like an automatic braking wheel hold it in position. But any car before like 2010, if you didn't know what you were doing, you would start rolling backwards.
You know the hill at Sepulveda and Burbank?
You know I do.
My friend and I got stuck on there when he was driving because he like rolled back and it was just all bad. One of his first times driving stick.
What's really bad, though, you have people like you, Eric, who don't drive stick, who don't understand what that's like. And you'll pull up right behind someone who has a stick in front of you, not giving them the requisite maybe 5 or 6 feet to roll back a little before they pull off on an incline. And it even happens in our garage here at iHeart, because as you exit the garage, especially let's say at 5 o'clock, if I get out here at 6 o'clock, there'll be a lot of people leaving at the same time. And there's a line of cars and we're lined up to get out on Olive. And there's a slight incline and the light takes a long time to change. So you may be there for a moment. I can't tell you how many times I pull up there and some idiot, yes, an idiot, wants to come up right behind me. And it's like, I'm moving forward so I have more room so I don't roll into your dumb ass. But you don't need to pull up right on my ass. No. And sometimes I just want to go ahead and roll into them so they understand this. You don't do that to someone who's driving stick. Now, you would never do that, Eric, because
no,
you wouldn't do that. But you know, it could be someone like Mark Runner. Sometimes he just doesn't like me and he
Boundaries. No boundaries at all.
See?
Wait, but Mark doesn't have a car. No offense.
No, I'm saying he would be someone who would do that.
He's not wrong.
This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.